This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
You're listening to Her Vantage and Enterprise, and this is where we speak to women of influence and leadership. A self-made Singaporean millionaire at 29, Anna Vanessa Hautanto founded The New Savvy, an online platform that focuses on financial and career guide for women in Asia through simplified language. We're here with Anna on how she empowers women financially. Anna, good to be speaking to you, but what sparked you to start The New Savvy?
So I'm Anna. I run thenewsavvy.com. The New Savvy is an online platform for women. I think there were a few instances in my life that led me to start The New Savvy. So the first one is because of my family's financial struggle when I was young. I saw how my mom and my dad made certain financial mistakes, and I thought that I love my parents and they're very well-meaning, but I thought that certain things that they did could have been prevented if people are more educated about finances. So one of the things that they did was to actually borrow against a credit card. I think, as most of us know, when you borrow against a credit card, it's not the principal that will kill you, it's actually the interest, because, you know, it's 24% interest.
Yes.
Yeah. The second thing of why it's for women is because when I was younger, I used to volunteer at an organization. It's for women. So I saw how some women are abused, or they were, you know, stuck in unhappy marriages. And the reason is because, and a lot of them couldn't walk away because they have no income or they have no job, no savings of their own. So they're very reliant on their husband. Mm. So I thought that it was very important, for women to actually manage their own finances and have that independence so that they always have a choice to do the things that they want.
Right. So The New Savvy, it's targeted at women. And of course, you explained a little why women. But don't you think that men are equally, do they need to be financially educated just as well? Do you find men actually visiting The New Savvy?
Okay, so for The New Savvy, we actually have 30% male readership. It's not that we don't have male readership. It's just that we focus our content for females. I think in general, let's face it. Financial education is lacking in Singapore, in Malaysia, in Asia, right, and worldwide. So, and I always tell people, don't you think it's crazy how, you know, most of us, we go to school and we are told to be good in everything, like math, sciences, English. You know, most of the kids nowadays, they take like tuition or they take ballet lessons, piano lessons, but nobody taught us to manage money. Nobody taught us how to budget, how to save, how to invest. So I think for The New Savvy, why it's targeted at women is I think women have unique financial needs than compared to men. Women look at money differently compared to men. And I think women's needs are also different. But the thing is, we also do very classic asset classes topics, things on how to buy a property, how do you, when you travel, what are the best credit cards to use. So a lot of men are also interested to read the site.
I see. Just maybe give me one, when you say women look at finances differently, can you give me one example of how they look at things differently?
Okay, so for example, I think if you ask most women, a lot of them say that, money is a means for them to take care of their family or their loved ones. You ask them, what kind of returns do you want? And they will say about 6 to 10%, right? Most women will answer that. If you ask a man, I think what they want is actually around 20%. And they are a bit more aggressive. Men are actually, they trade more. And men tend to suffer from overconfidence. So they always think that, this is from research. So,
yeah.
So they actually trade a lot more. And they always think that they can beat the market.
Why do you think women have this greater fear in investing?
I think women, a lot of us, for people around our age, we were told that we were never good, especially in Asia, we were always told to leave the money, the finances to the men who are traditionally breadwinners. So even as more of us, when we grew up, a lot of my friends and a lot of females now in Asia, right, we are earning more money, we have more savings, and we are getting more independence, but we still don't have the mindset to actually manage the money.
So can you also just, at this point, I guess, tell us how you got started with the New Savvy, you know, the process of how it started and how it grew?
Okay, so previously I was in banking for almost 10 years. So I did everything from private equity to investment banking and wealth management. I was on a break and I've always wanted to start to help people. And I thought that finance was the only way I know how to. And I always thought that, you know, I was very blessed. I love finance. I studied it, did quite well in banking. And I wanted to do something more, something extra. So I started the New Savvy. It started and then the site grew. We were very lucky. We have media coverage from Forbes, CNBC, you know, Business Insider. So I think that increased people's awareness of the New Savvy. I think the other thing is also, you know, people are very supportive of it because most women know that we need to manage our finances. It's at the back of our head. It's just that most of us are also lazy to do it. And it's true. I think for most men are very supportive of it because, you know, they know that if you are in a household and both parties are equally responsible for the finances, it only means good things for the family.
Mm, okay. So, and of course, you said you were working in the bank and you gave up a decent five-figure stable income in banking to be an entrepreneur. Was that an easy decision?
It's actually the hardest decision of my life. When I did it, a lot of people thought that I was crazy. Yeah, really siao. Even some of my mentors told me that I was being very impetuous. I think a lot of people thought that, you know, and I think it was worse for me because I'm in a private banking where you don't really leave your job.
Mm.
So, and I have to be honest, when I started, I've never wanted to start my own business. The only thing I wanted to do was to be in finance. Mm. I mean, I saw how my parents struggled and I told myself, you know, this is just too hard. So when I started it, I did it full time. I worked from like 9 to 4 a.m. every day and, you know, it was tough work. And a lot of times I questioned myself, but even though physically I was doing it full-time, I think emotionally and mentally I wasn't. I kept asking myself, is this the right choice? Did I make the right decision? And you know what? I think the thing about working in corporate, it's not only the money. I think a lot of people always think, you know, it's just the salary. It's not. Mm. It's actually a lot of it comes from your self-identity and your self-worth. Because having the name or having the backing of a corporate or a big name gives you identity and you know, so
it's a nice name card to flaunt.
Yes. And I think that the truth is I questioned myself that until one day I gave a talk they were 17 years old, right? And after the talk, one young girl, 17 years old, came up to me and said, you know, I've been reading your site for a year and my dad is retrenched and my mom is in hospital and I have to be the breadwinner for my family. I have to take care of my family's finances and I'm very, very thankful for the New Savvy.
Right.
So embarrassingly, I actually cried in front of her and she didn't. Yeah, but I think after that, I think that was the point one plus year later. That was the point where I thought to myself, okay, you know what? I'm just going full on and I'm not going to doubt myself. And if I fail, then I fail.
Right. And so setting up, and this was, of course, a big move. And then you set up the New Savvy, right? What were the challenges when you first started it?
So before I started the New Savvy, all I knew is finance. I used to, you know, read about finance like a crazy woman. So, and when I was in banking, I was quite spoiled. I had two assistants, right? So it's very interesting to start your own business on your own. You just basically have to do everything. And I think one of the challenges is I've never started a tech business. I've never done a website. I don't know what is digital marketing or search engine optimization. I have to pick it up and learn all about it myself. That's one. And I always tell people that, you know, every mistake that you can make, I make all of them, and I think I make all of them twice. So, yeah, it's, and I guess this is why I'm a bit cautious whenever people tell me that they want to start their own business. I always tell them, you should reconsider, and it's not that I don't encourage it, it's just that I think people are not very sure of how tough it will be.
They just see the end result, but you know the journey leading to that is never easy. Yeah? We'll talk a little bit more about the New Savvy itself in just a moment. I'm here with Anna Hautanto from the New Savvy. You're listening to Enterprise BFM 89.9.
Breaking Financial Matters, BFM 89.9.
This is Enterprise and also Her Vantage, where we speak to women of influence and leadership. I'm here with Anna Vanessa Hautanto from the New Savvy, a self-made Singapore millionaire at 29, of course, and an online platform, the New Savvy, which focuses on financial career guide for women in Asia. So we talk a little bit about the New Savvy. How did it expand to beyond the shores of Singapore?
I think the first thing is, of course, content. We focus on 75% universal content. Maybe I'll talk a bit more about the content, right? So we started with only asset classes and then like equities, bonds, mutual funds. And then we expanded into more personal finance topics like saving, budgeting, insurance. Then after that, we did a bit more lifestyle. So for example, like relationship, travel plans, dating, wedding, divorce. So I guess the thing is, for most of it, The idea was to make finance as relatable and engaging as possible. So, for example, if you are just waiting for a friend for 5 minutes, you can read one of our articles and, right, you know, and gain in knowledge, right? Mm. Our readers are still Singapore-based. Mm-hmm. But I think a lot of interest, I think people share our articles with other people from other countries. That's one. Number two, we also focus, so for example, in Malaysia, we are preparing topics like the best credit cards in Malaysia, or, you know, what are the best credit card, or how do you invest in Malaysia? So we also focus on localized content. So 25% will be localized content.
Right. Who decides on the content in the New Savvy? How did you realize that, you know, okay, 75% was universal? So it was sort of a learning along the way in finding the right mix of for content.
Yes, it's all, I think it's mostly learning along the way. I mean, we are a small startup of 8, right? So, of course, it's always a matter of resource versus output. If I have my choice, you know, I would want to have a lot of, you know, dedicated Malaysia side or dedicated Indonesia side, but we just can't at this moment. And every time we travel, you know, people always tell us, like, it's a good idea. Why don't you come to Malaysia now? Why don't you set up? Yeah.
Okay. And so if you look at your readers, okay, as you were saying, 70% of women, what's the age group?
Most of them are 25 to 35. I think about 60% are 25 to 35. Another 30% will be 35 to 45.
Now, as a CEO managing a team of 8 and, of course, with contributors, what has been the most eye-opening experience for you in managing the company?
For me, definitely managing people. So when I was in banking, I was always an individual contributor, so I was a salesperson. And I've always steered away from managing people because I think that, you know, I mean, I am self-motivated. And when you're in sales, you just want to do sales your whole life, right? Because you have your own flexible time. You can, your output is determined by your own, you know, efforts. And I think when I managed a team, it was very tough. So I was managing people who are older than me and also managing people who are younger than me. And I wasn't sure how to manage people. It was something that I was learning. And so for a while, I couldn't understand why people don't work as hard as I was working. I couldn't understand a lot of things. And, you know, and I used to tell, and I think for a lot of business people, of a lot of startups, they always say things like, you know, why can't we find talents? Why can't we find good hires, right? But one of the things that I realized through this journey, which was the most eye-opening for me, is someone told me this. Someone said, when you are a leader, you are given this team. Your job as a leader is to make them the A team. And if you fail, it's not because of their weaknesses, it's because you are failing as a leader.
Right.
Yeah. And the moment I hear that, my whole mindset changes. And now I think of what can I do for this person to improve and to reach where I want them to be and where they want to be, instead of just looking at what they fail at or what they were not doing enough.
Right. Now, in your journey as an entrepreneur, have you any mentors or people who have made a tremendous impact on your life?
Plenty. I think I was very lucky that since young, I always have people helping me. And I'm very, very grateful. So in banking, I have one of the chief investment officer of a big mutual fund. He was my mentor and he taught me a lot. Even in banking, I have a best friend who always, teach me and keep me grounded. And I think for me, having mentors is very important because there's a lot of things that you don't know. Nobody knows everything, right?
Yeah.
And even from my own stuff, I'm actually learning a lot. So I always tell people you should seek out mentors, and if you can, not only seek out certain people, but also learn from everyone. Be open because everyone has something to teach you.
Right. In what you do right now, is there a lot of competitors in this space?
Whenever people ask me that, I get a bit. I'm hesitant because we are actually a personal finance site, but we are also a women's site. So if you ask me, any personal finance website can be a competitor, and any women's site can be a competitor too. But I just think that where we are at the niche that we are, I don't think that there's anybody covering it.
Right.
And that's something that we are good at.
Okay. Now, you're also the director at Terra Capital. Tell us more about that.
So Terra Capital is an investment firm. It's a private investment firm by Singaporean brothers. They own hospitality, real estate, and invest in startups. So when I left banking, I was doing business development for them and have maintained the job for now, until now.
Okay. If we look at the future plans for the new Savvy, what are you looking at?
So recently in April, we did a conference for 250 women. It's a women-only in personal finance, lifestyle, and career conference. It was actually very, very well received. The attendees said that there was immense value and they learned a lot. We had very good speakers. We had about 50 speakers, actually.
50?
All
right.
I wanted to do a bigger one next year. So maybe we want to do, instead of 250 people, we want to do about 700 people, 700 women. And the idea was to educate them more on finances. So for our first conference, I think it was difficult to delve deeper, but now for next year, I want to do a bit more. So for example, depending on your knowledge, you can go for different tracks.
Right.
Based on how much you know the topic. That's one. Number two, we also want to do courses. So a lot of women say, I enjoy reading the website, but I want to know more. So what's next?
Okay. So there's one for beginners and those that want to go for intermediate and advanced.
Yes.
Okay. And I just want to end off. It's still a long way off when it comes to women being financially intelligent.
Yep.
Yeah. You feel that's still, and women are still hesitant. And you'd be looking at women who are educated, who are working, and yet they are not taking further steps to be educated in this area.
I think for us, we want to cover every woman. We cover 45 topics. We have 45 categories, so we can cover everything. For example, we do fun topics like makeup, but we don't do frivolous makeup. So we don't tell you, this eyeshadow is going to make your eyes pop, But we do these are some of the drugstore brands that is as good as branded makeup. One of the most popular topics is, instead of buying a Chanel bag that costs maybe,
several thousand.
Yeah, 15,000 RM or 5,000 Singapore dollars. These are some of the stocks that you can buy. So you make it very intuitive for women. Even something is, one of the articles that I'm looking now is five smart steps to achieve your savings goals today. So we want to cater to every woman. And I think that every woman has the power to learn more. Even sometimes I read my own, not the articles I read, and I go like, that's quite a smart idea. Yeah.
All right. It's been very exciting speaking to you. Thank you so much for sharing your journey. I'm listening to Anna Hartanto from The New Savvy. You've been listening to Her Vantage on Enterprise BFM 89.9.
Wow. Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.